Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday, August 1st, 2019. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts 45 and Change. If it's Thursday, that can mean only one thing. Steve Wilfong, Director of Recruiting for 24/7 Sports Minutes from a well-earned vacation, joins us. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, Daniel. Doing great, man. Doing great. How about you?
I, too, will be going on vacation starting this weekend, so you people will have to do without us for at least a week. I don't know what you're going to do. But to take care of it, I asked last night if you guys wanted to ask Steve some questions on today's show. And you gave me a bunch of good ones. This is going to be rapid-fire Wilfong. Steve, are you ready?
Let's do it. I did not prepare for this. I have no idea what the question
is. No, this is true. This is going to be a complete blind run for Steve. It's the best way to do these. It makes it the most fun. And if he says anything really crazy, I'm just going to edit it out anyway. All right. Buckeye 8484. Steve, I understand five-star status equates to first-round potential. Do you guys consider a prospect's character in the evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, I think we consider if we think the kid loves football or not. I mean, not everyone in the NFL, not everyone in the first round is a choir boy, you know what I'm saying? And so, same as all colleges, you're weighing their character and their love for the game, but
you're also still banking on the talent
to come through and for the light bulb to come on with a kid or two each cycle.
That was a really good question.
They don't take too many reaches at Ohio State.
Right.
But they have, they have taken a guy or two, and I'm not going to put them on blast, but I guarantee the front rowers could figure out, if you look over the last five recruiting classes or so, there's a guy or two in there that is a stretch from a cultural standpoint that was a really talented kid.
The Ohio State question, they're just judging whether the character will keep him from getting to his talent. I think the lower you go down the board, you're dealing with guys, you got to decide whether you want it even in the program or not. So, Ebron 84, if we lose out on Bijan Robinson, as it appears we will, who do you believe is next on their big board besides E.J. Smith?
Oh, man. I mean, there's all kinds of names that I could speculate on and not sure if they're true. I think Jalen Berger out of Don Bosco Prep is an obvious name. I think you could see Ohio State tap into some national running back recruits that haven't committed. Maybe a Tank Bigsby. And then obviously you have a couple good ones in state. I don't know, that they had in camp, or I think they had Torrance Gibson in camp, I believe, is committed to Kentucky. Mayan Williams had a huge junior year. He's committed to Iowa State. I'm not saying that I've heard that the Buckeyes are going to go on any of these guys, just, just throwing some names out there right now that come to mind.
There were a couple questions on Torrance and Tank Bigsby and such, so we're going to skip over those. But another one from Ebron 84, do you think the Buckeyes can beat out Clemson for Reed Carico?
Unless something changed over the weekend, I think that you like Ohio State's position. Now, certainly you don't sleep on Clemson, just like an in-state program doesn't sleep on Ohio State when they come into their backyard. And I'll be honest, I'm not like immersed in this 21 class, so I could be missing some details. I do know Ohio State and Clemson are the top two, talking to a source over at Ironton. Beyond that, I'd be guessing on what Reed Carico is going to do. I know some of my colleagues feel really good about Ohio State, and they're tapped into 2021 a little bit more in their regions. But my scope, I'm still locked in on 20 nationally.
Given that Bijan Robinson and Lathan Ransom attended the same high school, any concerns about Lathan Ransom following the Bijan Robinson swing? That's from Buck4511.
No, because they were never a package deal to begin with. It almost worked out, in my opinion, that they went to the same school and they were interested in some of the same schools. But Bijan took an official to USC. Lathan took one to LSU.
I don't think they were ever a package deal.
From different schools, go to powerhouse programs differently all the time. This is no different, in my opinion.
This is from the Nutbuster. Can you name some recruits you've seen at camp? Could you name some recruits that you have seen at camp that really caught your eye that you may not have had an opinion on before that?
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
That's a pretty loaded question off the cuff. The first guy that comes to mind is an offensive lineman named James Pogorek. He is from like Massachusetts or one of them areas up there, Virginia. I think he's from Chantilly, actually. James Pogorek.
That's definitely Virginia.
Well, he is a 6'7", 250, 260-pound offensive tackle that I saw at the Washington, D.C. Regional. He is not a finished product by any stretch, but he's got some serious traits to him. He's one of the few offensive linemen that I saw on the camp circuit that had the feet to stay in front of Brian Brzee. Just didn't have any of the other traits to hold the man off. But he's going to get stronger in college. He's going to fill out that impressive frame. The feet are what you can't teach, that movement and then the toughness. I think James Pogorelk is a guy that I could see going to one of these Big Ten schools that aren't maybe as prestigious and really developing into one of the best players in the conference or really whatever Power 5 school. He's going to end up in the Power 5. When I saw him, he didn't have an FBS offer, and he's landed a bunch of offers since that camp. So camps do help. Camps do help. But he – because his film sure as hell didn't change. But James Pogorelk is a guy that is one of them sleepers for me, I guess.
This is a really good one from Will the Thrill. Kyle McCord versus J.J. McCarthy. Many sites have McCord higher, and he's significantly lower here being 24/7 Sports. Also, he's outperformed over the summer and has a much tougher schedule. I'm reading here. What makes J.J. the superior player?
So, first of all, I believe we have McCord in the top 100, right? We're not sleeping on him like we think he's bad. So let's get that out of the way. I'm just getting out of the way because sometimes when we're splitting hairs, people think that means we think someone else isn't good and one's good. So now that we've established that we like McCord, it's McCarthy. So we're really getting bigger into the analytics on our side. McCarthy completed it at like a 70-something percentage clip. His film is awesome. Now, it is not lost on us. It is not lost on us that Ohio State could have landed J.J. McCarthy and was not ready to take a quarterback at that point in the process. Ohio State was also balancing trying to land Drake May, Kyle McCord. There were a few others that I'm not remembering off the top of my head. But I think Ohio State had like five guys that they could get. So they weren't like in a rush to take one in the spring, or at least in the early spring, because obviously McCord committed at the spring game. And they wanted to go out and see the guys throw, and they went and saw all those guys throw in person, and they liked McCord, and they went with McCord. And McCord, the state champion, like McCarthy. They both have big-time receivers on their team. McCarthy's is a year younger than him. McCord's is the same year as him, but the Tyler Morris kid's a guy that you guys are going to hear a lot about at some point, if you haven't already. And I just think we liked McCarthy's film a little better. We liked his profile a little better. But we got a long way to go, man. We could be changing our minds on some of these. But right now, I think we point to the high touchdowns, low interceptions, massive completion percentage. McCarthy's got one of the better arms I've seen this year, regardless of grade. And really, his accuracy in a camp setting is just precise.
Who's bigger?
The balls are. So I haven't seen McCord in person. Off the top of my head, I don't think I have. Obviously, others in our network have. I'm going to assume McCord is.
Because McCarthy's size is not prototype.
Well, he's not, but like the misconception. So McCarthy, he burst on the scene and looked like he was 11. So I was skeptical. I was like, who the hell is this kid, man? And he's still developing, but he's six. He's around 6'2", and he's not.
Okay.
I mean, he's not skinny, but he's going to fill out.
He's not just some shrimp. There is some physical upside to McCarthy too, but every throw is just on a damn rope and accurate. And then that high completion percentage clip is incredibly impressive.
Lou, here's how I see this. You've got two highly recruited quarterbacks going to Ohio State and Michigan, and you are a director of recruiting for 24/7 Sports based in the Midwest. You can expect to get that question, my guess is, 500 times.
Okay. I always tell people in this line of work that the message board people can ask the question 500 times. They're paying. You know, it's our job to answer it.
Last question, and then Steve's got to go, so some of these will have to table for his next show. This is from Buckeye Warrior.
It is not lost on me that I owe Buckeye Warrior a bottle. I'm going to get it to him at some point. For a quarterback we overrated before we looked at analytics, a guy that didn't complete it at a high percentage, didn't throw a lot of touchdowns, didn't look good in camp, but didn't have any of the analytical data to say he was going to get drafted high. Shane Morris.
You probably should get him two bottles.
You know, I knew I was going to lose the bet. I had to make him ride it out till he exhausted all his eligibility.
Buckeye Warrior's question, and I believe he is referring to a website called Bucknuts and a message board called The Front Row. Have you ever seen a fan base meltdown this bad over losing a recruit when the school has a top three recruiting class?
It's just the passion and the expectation, and y'all have been pretty spoiled on the recruiting trail without much I'm struggling with my words.
Negativity?
Without much
rejection.
That's a good word. And so it's still a terrific class, still a lot of good running backs out there. Good running back room right now with JK, Master, and Crowley. And obviously Ohio State's going to need a back this class. It'll be a guy. And when he pops up on the radar, the front row will come around on him. If it's a three-star, we'll ask for a fourth. It's good. You know, Ohio State recruiting, no one's feeling sorry for y'all. So I guess y'all got to feel sorry for yourself every once in a great while.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to end it. Steve is going to be on vacation next week. I'm going to be on vacation next week. We really appreciate him stopping by. If we didn't get to your questions, we will in the future. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Thanks for having me on, guys.